Hey guys, Colleen Wolf from NFL Network. And look, you may or may not know, I'm from Philly. I'm ride or die Philadelphia, but especially when it comes to sports. So you guys need to check out Mike Small on the Killing Me Smalls podcast. This guy crushes it, and I can't wait to hear what he has to say next.
Ian Rappaport from NFL Network. You're killing me, Smalls.
This is Bucky Brooks of the NFL Network. You're killing me, Smalls.
Hey, this is Chris Heck, president of the 76ers. I just want to say, you're killing me, Smalls.
Hey, this is former Sixer and Tar Heel George Lynch. Smalls, you're killing me.
Hi, this is Kenny Albert. You're killing me, Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Killing Me Smalls podcast. We are pleased once again to have one of our favorites, a great guest, great guy, Adam Kaplan. You've seen Adam, you've heard Adam. I'm going to try to run this down. I'm sure I'm going to miss one of these things. Water covers two-thirds of the earth, and I think Adam covers the rest. Sirius XM, NFL Radio, Fox Sports Radio, 97.5 The Fanatic. He does Inside the Birds podcast with Jeff Mosier, which I really, really enjoy. Am I missing anything? Did I get most of it?
Yeah, it's good enough, man. It's kind of a lot of that takes up my time, but I'm glad to be with you again, Mike, and I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. Thanks again. And I guess this is a tradition for us. 2 years in a row, the season's a little more than halfway over. We can talk about some of the trends that we've seen. I know that you're a big fantasy guy. My fantasy team bit the dust this week.
Oh, my. I'm struggling with injuries. Yeah.
You know what? I outsmarted myself. I scored 20 points last week.
Oh, my God.
I said, okay, Aaron Rodgers is banged up. He's got a bye week next week. I've got to win the next 2 weeks. I trade Aaron Rodgers for Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith. How did that work out?
Hurts is, it's really interesting for fantasy. There's a difference between fantasy and reality. As a quarterback, you know, Hurts isn't very good. Not yet, he's not. But for fantasy, he's been great. He's been, depending on your scoring system, he's been a top five quarterback. And that's the thing with fantasy playing since 1990. It's all about knowing your scoring. I remember having Steve Young. He was unbelievable because he ran. These running quarterbacks, guys who run. Josh Allen, another one. Obviously, he's got an enormous arm. He's incredibly gifted. But for fantasy, if these guys run, man, those dual threat quarterbacks, they help you.
Well, when they throw for 120 yards and three interceptions, it's not going to do much.
Not going to help.
But getting to the reality, that's a good place to start. Jalen Hurts, have you seen enough to tell you he's a franchise quarterback, or what do you think?
No. The Eagles aren't looking at him as a franchise quarterback. What they want him to do is be the guy next year and build with him and then see what he can be. Every team will tell a reporter, we love this guy to be the franchise quarterback, but they need to get there first. He's not there yet. I mean, I cover 32 teams, and I could go through all the guys with question marks, whether it's Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts. You could go through so many situations and say, okay, is he the guy? Is he not the guy? And then there are obviously guys who are drafted this year. I remember talking to the Bills about Josh Allen. Now, they drafted him high. They traded up for him. But they needed to see it. Now, he got obviously a lot of slack because he was a first-round pick. With Jalen Hurts, he doesn't have that. He was traded up for, and the Eagles took him way before he should have gone. But talking to the Eagles about it, they thought that at that point, which is just 9 months after they extended Carson Wentz's contract, he'd be Wentz's long-term backup. It's really in the 21 years of cover the National Football League. I've never seen a team draft a backup in the second round, and they didn't think he'd ever be the long-term starter, potential long-term starter, but crazier things have happened, and now he is. And you go through these quarterback situations, Michael. It's really, man, you just never know. I've been fooled before. Patrick Mahomes shocked me. Never thought he'd be this good. I know he's had an up and down year, but the quarterback position, once so many teams fail, it's really remarkable how it goes down.
You know, I'm with you on that. I'll tell you, the one I was most surprised by was Josh Allen. That was a total leap. I thought, you know, you come in, you don't have accuracy. It's not something you're going to be able to get. And see, that's what I look at with Tua Tagovailoa, whose accuracy is off the charts. I mean, he's been over 80% the last 2 weeks. He's setting records for accuracy, but they're already trying to replace him, or at least they were earlier in the year. Yeah. Do you, I mean, it's, look, let's be honest. If from a team building perspective, if you can keep your draft pick and make sure that that's your guy, and then you can build around him financially, it really makes so much sense. Now, if a team like Miami's got to go give up 3 first round picks and pay $30 million a year for Deshaun Watson, it limits what you're going to do to be able to build around him. So, you know, what, first of all, what's your take on Tua? Do you think he's starting to show enough? Do you think it's been a really wild year following that guy?
Yeah, I know some teams that had a second round grade on him, depending on which scouts you talk to, or which personnel people. There's nothing special about him. Yeah, he is accurate, but he's a smaller guy, not a great arm, gets hurt a lot. He's got a smaller body frame. And that's the thing you worry about. That's why some teams just didn't really like him very much, other than he's a good person, high character, played at Alabama, obviously a very decorated college quarterback, was the reason why Jalen Hurts transferred. But the fact of the matter is, he hasn't shown enough. He's not been healthy enough. Now, I know talking to the Dolphins before the season started, they thought their offensive line would be much improved. We could argue that's probably not been.
Disaster, yeah.
Yeah, it's been not been what they thought it would be. That's been a problem. They've arguably the NFL's worst running game. It's awful. They need it. Miles Gaskin's a really good backup. He'd be a good changeup. He's not a starting NFL running back. I think they've learned that. They've missed on some draft picks. You know, with all this, with all these draft picks they've had, they haven't done as well as they would have hoped. Now they have this winning streak, but they still have a record under 500. They've got a lot of work to do. And you mentioned Deshaun Watson. They were deep into the talks, not a secret. I've known this since March, how much they've wanted him. That's the place he wants to go. He'd like to go. They couldn't work it out. We'll see what happens at the trade deadline and where the actually in the trade window opens back in the third week of March when free agency opens. But I just talking to teams already for the draft, just started my draft study before I go to the Senior Bowl in January. It does not sound like it's a great year to need a quarterback, just for whatever team you like or for watching Michael and I. It's just not a great year to need a quarterback, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
You know, I watched Tua. All right, look, you got me. I'm a Dolphins fan and an Alabama fan. But there you watch Tua, and I watch Mac Jones, and I don't see a big difference. They're both accurate. Neither one of them have big-time arms. One has a great offensive line and the best coach in NFL history, arguably. The other has a terrible offensive line. You look at Tua, this was Tua's 16th game this week. So that's one full season. The numbers are pretty good. I don't have them in front of me. It's like 3,500 yards and, 20-something touchdowns, 12 turnovers. I think it's 10 interceptions, 2 fumbles. The numbers are pretty good for a 16-game sample. Would you think that if Tua were on the Patriots, you'd be seeing what you're seeing with Mac? Do you see a discernible difference between the two? What am I missing?
Totally different. Yeah, the Mac Jones is an incredible processor for information. Talking to a Patriots source about him. This source has been around quarterbacks for a long, long time, said he's one of the best processors you've ever seen as a rookie. That's why they knew. It was over. This source said it was over in June with him versus Cam Newton, said it wasn't even close. They knew then. I mean, they had to take it to training camp just to see Mac Jones perform in training camp. It was over. And Tua is not a great processor. He's okay. A decent at it, not elite, not great like Mac Jones. Now, you're right with the arm strength. Mac Jones doesn't have a great arm. And that the one thing that teams who did not love Mac Jones is they wondered when the weather gets cold, particularly in December, January, let's see how Mac Jones throws the football in the cold weather. That is a concern for some teams.
Seems to be answering it. And I'll tell you what, San Francisco's got to be kicking themselves. Not grabbing him third, I would think.
But again, that you're
it's early.
You're
for
just
Trey
reacting. Lance, yeah, you're just reacting as a fan. We're not even done the first year. Trey Lance has not been a starter yet. So you got to wait 3 or 4 years to see what these guys do. Unless the guy's so bad that you're like, okay, it's over. This guy can't play. I mean, the Dwayne Haskins stories rarely happen, where you go, this guy cannot play, and you get rid of him.
Yeah.
But that was more of a maturity issue. He's got some talent, but no, you got to see that what they always say in the National Football League is you got to see the situation through.
All right, you're picking an MVP. We're what, 11 games in, 12 games mm-hmm. in. Who's your MVP right now?
My offensive MVP, it can't be Lamar Jackson. He's been There was a point where I thought he might do it again because he's really started to come on. You saw, I don't know how they won. The guy throws four picks and they win. I'm a big fan of his, but I couldn't put him there. It's a good question. Rodgers has still got to be up there. Brady's still got to be up there. I would say those two guys, just off the top of my head. Mahomes has been too up and down. Obviously, he's been better lately, but he's not been good enough. There have been some what I call – well, Jonathan Taylor's been unbelievable.
Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, I think those are the three. I think it's Rodgers, Brady, and Taylor.
Right. The problem is if they have a losing record, it's hard for reporters. I vote not in that one for the Association of Press, but I vote in at least two polls every year. I'm a huge fan. You know, it's interesting. His agent is former NFL linebacker Barry Gardner, who played for the Eagles, went to Northwestern.
I remember him. Yeah.
Yeah. Barry is a smart guy. And John Taylor's, I think, a South Jersey guy. I know he's from New Jersey. And Taylor's just been unbelievable. I mean, he's put the team on his back. Carson Wentz has revived his career. Carson Wentz should be what's the award?
Player of the year.
Yeah, comeback player of the year. I would. I would. Yeah. I've watched almost every snap that he's played this season. He's been quite the story. Certainly not perfect, but he's been much improved.
He really has, and you got to give Frank Reich credit for that. So, all right, you're picking right now. Okay, you're on DraftKings, and there's no odds. Right. Who's your Super Bowl favorite for the NFC and the AFC?
Well, so before the season started, I believe I picked Buffalo and Tampa. I'm still going to pick the Bucs to get there in L.A. because once they get Carlton Davis back, who's going to be back within the next 2 weeks, then they just got Sean Murphy Bunting back, the other starting corner, 2 weeks ago. The problem is that they've not been healthy at corner. They've had a lot of injuries in their secondary, particularly at corner.
Yeah.
It's been mostly at corner, and now that these guys are going to be back, Green Bay is, and Aaron Rodgers now with a broken toe, you just don't know how long he's going to last. I give Arizona all the credit in the world. They've been way better than I expected. They're the best team right now. There's no doubt. And if they could get Kyler Murray back and DeAndre Hopkins back relatively soon, they will be the best team. But I'm going to pick the experience of Tom Brady to get there. And then from the AFC, it's completely wide open. Baltimore's the number one seed right now, but they're living dangerously. I can't believe I'm going to pick this because I did not like them coming into the season. Because with Derrick Henry with a broken foot, we don't know when he's going to come back at what point in January, if he does come back at all. I think New England could press Kansas City. I'm still going to pick my preseason pick, Kansas City, to get there. But the upset pick would be New England. I'm just so blown away. They haven't played the schedule that Kansas City has, but I've been so blown away with what they've been able to do. It's been remarkable how they've turned the season around.
So I'm disgusted to agree with you. I've got right now, if I were picking, I'm going Tampa Bay, New England. It's the Brady Bowl. And
that would be unbelievable. Oh my God. You know, that'd be great.
I'd never be able to listen to the ringer. It would just be absolutely brutal. I could never, I'd have to go to another, you know, I said I'm a Dolphin fan. So having dealt with this for the last 20 something years, I would have to go to another country and just deal with it. So you mentioned the Cardinals, and I've been really impressed with the Cardinals.
So have I.
So looking at the Cardinals, looking at the Bengals,
you
know, some of these teams that, you know, you never expected to be up there. And you know, I guess as a Tua fan, it's painful to watch Joe Burrow do so well. Although Justin Herbert's starting to regress a little bit, but I think that might be system over him. Would you agree with that?
Well, with Herbert, the problem is remember, their defense has been horrendous this season. They've really fallen off. I'm shocked with Brandon Staley being the head coach. They're awful. They don't tackle well. They don't cover well. They don't pressure well. I know they've had some injuries, but they're playing poorly.
Do you think he's forcing it a little bit?
I mean, he's had a couple games where you're a little – I don't think he's regressive. He's had a couple games where he hasn't played as well. That happens. But regression to me has got to be 4, 5, 6 weeks. Like Patrick Mahomes, he struggled for a bit. He wasn't regressing. All young quarterbacks go through it. And I think sometimes fans overanalyze, he's struggling right now. He's regressing. Not quite. He's just going through struggles. Young quarterbacks particularly go through that.
You know, it's almost like watching basketball where you see somebody get off, you know, like a house of fire.
Yeah.
Team makes an adjustment. They have to adjust back. That's almost, you know, I feel like that happened with Patrick Mahomes maybe a little bit earlier this year. I think maybe Lamar Jackson's going through that when, you know, Miami played them with you know, just blitzing every time. And it looked like he got a dose of that last night. You know, so maybe he has to adjust. I think we might be seeing some of that in a cycle. Is that possible?
I think Jackson, and I know talking to the Ravens, they really want to get, they wanted to, and they have, they've given more volume in the playbook, asked them to do more because they wanted to do it last year. But the problem is there was no offseason, no preseason, abbreviated training camp. Then, as you know, he missed some the COVID list last year, illness this year, and he's had some great games where that Colts game, he and Carson Wentz is one of the best games. We forget it was that Monday night game. I think it was Monday night. It's an unbelievable game. Both quarterbacks were brilliant. I love watching Lamar's energy, and he's become a better passer. He throws a beautiful ball, by the way. So he's come a long way as a passer. But I just think young quarterbacks are going to go through struggles. They don't – Wentz was – we know how bad Wentz was last year. Some of it was injury-related. Some of it was offensive line issues with the coaches, whatever. They all go through it, and you have to expect it for two or three games a season for a young quarterback.
Yeah, I think you might be right. What about – you know, it's interesting. You know, I'm looking at some of the lines on the games next week, and you know, we don't have to get into gambling or anything if you don't want. But what's interesting to me is home field advantage doesn't even seem to be a thing anymore.
Oh, it's a joke.
Why is that? I mean, I understand last year with no fans. What is it this year about that?
It's crazy that the away teams have a better record than the home teams. It did last year, as you said, it was obvious. I remember coaches telling me before that season and during the season, it was no longer about crowds. It was coaches versus coaches and players versus players. And that was 100% true. This year, I was talking to Mike Tannenbaum, the former Jets GM, a couple weeks ago. What I asked him that question, what is going on? He goes, he thinks it's COVID-related. I mean, it's obviously a subjective answer because there's no way to measure it. Right. But he goes, he thinks that because, hey, listen, who knows, A, if the stadiums may be full in terms of selling tickets, but who knows if everyone's showing up. B, the big reason is, my sense was, that if they're wearing masks, some people wear masks to games. You're obviously your voice is muffled. In fact, as you know, when you try to talk with a mask, it's hard to hear people. So who knows? But it's definitely not a home field anymore. And I know the league will tell you because as they've told me, they love the so-called competitive balance. They hate the parody word. So let's call it competitive balance. But that's what we have right now. And home field doesn't mean much. Now coaches will tell you they love to be at home rather than traveling, and players would love not to travel. But fact of the matter is, it's definitely different.
Yeah, I bet there's some more theories to that too that we haven't even thought of. But
yeah, sure.
The mask one is interesting. I'm gonna give you that because I don't think I'd have come up with that one in about 100 years.
But who knows? Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you know what would be interesting is because you know there are some states. This is not a political podcast, but there are some states where they don't give a crap about a mask.
No, but some people don't care either.
A home field advantage or not?
Right, but no, but some people are just going to wear masks regardless if there's a mandate at the stadium. They're going to wear masks. They just feel that way, which is, again, we're not being political here. That's their own personal choice. But it is weird, though. It's just it is weird. I've talked to reporters who've been at various NFL stadiums. They said they notice a difference, but they can't. Some don't sound quite as loud, but they can't quite put their finger on it.
So I know I've got to get you out of here, and you committed to 20 minutes, and I'm going to hold you to it and not go a second over. Real quick, tell us where everybody can see you, find you, hear you, read you.
Gotcha.
We definitely appreciate you joining.
No problem. So Twitter or Instagram, same name, Kaplan NFL, C-A-P-L-A-N NFL, and you'll kind of figure out what I'm doing next. Oh, yeah, actually the big thing, which is I really need to update my bio for Twitter because there's just not enough room, but – I have a Twitch show, which is owned by Amazon, and I do, it's the coolest thing, very quickly. So what we do is we get the Thursday Night Football feed. We watch it in HD on my channel together. Once they put it on the front page, once they promote us on the front page, you'll be watching with 4,000 people, and I answer everyone's questions. I'm happy to do it, no matter what fan you are of what team. I'll talk a little fantasy. We talk whatever game is on this Thursday. Obviously, it is the Cowboys at the Saints, but we'll talk playoffs, we'll talk offseason, whatever you want to talk about, we do it. It's a super cool idea, and I love it. The technology is awesome. And the other thing is I can't talk during the commercials, but we all talk, and there's a chat box, and I answer all the questions. It's actually really cool technology. I look forward to it this Thursday.
You know, have you enjoyed the Manning thing? Have you been watching that?
Yeah, in fact, someone said that that's what they compared it to, because I could talk over the game. I just can't talk during the commercials. But it's really cool. That's exactly the way I do it. I, we don't turn the sound down, but I talk over it. And it's really cool. And it's funny. They love that I get, like, they could go back and forth with me on issues or stuff that's going on the game or other games. For we'll talk lines. I don't gamble, but they'll ask me, hey, what's your opinion on this game? And I'll tell them what I think the game, how the game flow will be and all that. It's really cool technology.
Yeah, I found myself that if I don't care who wins the game, I love the Manning thing. But if my team's playing, I don't want to deal with that. And I think that's great. I'm going to check that out. So, Adam, thank you once again. Look forward to having you back on the show. And really appreciate your friendship and staying in touch. And
anytime, man.
Thank everybody for watching the Killing Me Smalls podcast. Please follow me on Twitter at Real Mike Small. Follow Adam Kaplan. Adam, where do they find you on Twitter?
Yep, Kaplan NFL, C-A-P-L-A-N NFL.
And please subscribe to The Painted Lines. You get this podcast as well as so many others. Thanks, everybody, for joining.
Hey, it's Justin Grasso from Sports Illustrated. You're killing me, Smalls. Enjoy the podcast.